Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Abide, O dear Redeemer, among us with your word, and thus now and hereafter true peace and joy afford. Abide with heavenly brightness among us, precious light. Your truth direct and keep us from error's gloomy night. Amen. As these two men on the road to Emmaus recount the recent events to this stranger, they say, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Now you would be hard-pressed to find a sadder line in all of the scriptures. And I know there is a lot of sad lines in the scriptures. They do cover thousands of years of history and human sin. But given the situation with these two men, what these guys had seen and what they had heard, this line is still a good bet. And their situation is this: their Christianity had failed them. That day, they were walking away from the church. They were leaving dejected, demoralized, distraught. They had had high hopes in Jesus, no less. But they felt that they had been let down. And they still couldn't wrap their minds around the loss. They were debriefing with each other on the road. All of that buildup, all of the miracles, all of the preaching, the way that everything was beginning to fit so nicely with the prophecies, the growing crowds, all of that had led these two to think that the tide was about to turn. After all, they were walking and talking with the Christ. They were tagging along with the Son of God. And everyone knew they needed that. Everyone knew that Judea needed that. Their country was a long way from ideal. Nothing was as good as it was in the old days. None of the current politicians were any good. And so where was a good, honest, believing Jew to turn? The temple was run by chief priests and Sadducees, many of whom didn't believe in things like spirits and angels. They did not believe in the immortality of the soul. They did not believe in resurrection from death. But to them, Jesus was different. He was the real deal. He didn't just talk about stuff. He did things, miraculous things. And he was not afraid of the religious and political authorities. He knew they were hypocrites. He knew they were greedy. He knew they loved money and attention and power. And in contrast, Jesus was clearly a prophet, mighty in deed and word, speaking the truth to these earthly powers and calling them out. But then, and here's what crushed their hopes, those same chief priests and rulers, the very one Jesus had been talking back to, not that this should be surprising coming from them, but they had crucified Jesus. The powers that be had conspired to get Jesus killed, and they had succeeded. Game over. And Cleopas and this other disciple were done after that. They were still in shock. No doubt they were asking the kind of questions that Pastor Miller talked about last week. Where did he go wrong? What could we have done? What could he have done that would have changed this outcome? How could things turn out differently? What could we have said to keep the movement going? But it was too late. Right? All they were left with was this gut punch, this sting of defeat. And some bizarre story told them by some women that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, other disciples had double-checked that or tried to, but they did not find Jesus. So as I said, their Christianity failed them. They still lived in a country whose best years were behind it, still ruled by elites who hated them, still surrounded by religious authorities who didn't actually believe in much. And that is not what Cleopas and the other disciple had hoped for. They had a crucified Messiah and a weird tale of resurrection. So they left. Right? What was left for them? Jesus had given them hope, but no longer. The kingdom that they were envisioning had not come yet. So there was no use sticking around to commiserate with the others. And upon hearing these things, upon hearing them recount these things, the stranger responds by calling them fools. Maybe their Christianity had failed them, but the Christ had not. What they had been envisioning and what the scriptures talk about had not been in line. They were not looking at the whole picture, the stranger tells them. They'd selected a few of their favorite verses out of the prophets. They'd selectively forgotten things that they did not like. And so, as you see, Jesus conducts a Bible study with them. He reminds them of the verses and the books that they had forgotten. As a side note, we still do that kind of thing here on Sunday mornings between the services. I recommend it. And what the stranger proved to them was that the Christ had to suffer and then enter his glory. Now, the disciples still do not recognize Jesus, but having reached their destination for the night, they invite him, hey, come stay with us. And there, in the breaking of the bread, they do finally recognize him. And that, as they say, made all the difference. Now, in some ways, nothing had changed. The country was still the same country as it was that early morning. The good old days had not returned. But in another way, now they saw and they heard correctly. Jesus was both crucified and risen. And he had not failed. But he had redeemed Israel by this very act. And so he tells them their sadness is out of place. They were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from their fathers. Their sins had been paid for. And as the scriptures were correct about the Christ, they're also correct about all of the rest too. And they say, Jesus also says that this world will pass away. So do not put all of your eggs in that basket. All of our silver, all of our gold, that will decay. But the heavens will roll up like a scroll, and all the dead will rise. In other words, Jesus tells them that the goal was not and is not a specific geographic country where Jesus sits on the throne. Rather, the scriptures say that he is Lord of all. And that in every nation, every country, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. His kingdom is already coming. But there is more to come. There is a new heaven and a new earth when he returns. So much for Cleopas and his friend, and so much for us too. We live off of the same words, that Jesus told to them. We too recognize him in the breaking of the bread that is his body, the very meal that proclaims his death until he comes. Because we are all on this road to Emmaus in some way. I have no doubt that you are dissatisfied with the world, dissatisfied with your government, dissatisfied even with the church. And all you have to hold on to is a tale of Christ rising from the dead and a meal where you discern that he is truly present. That is what they had too. What you have are the promises from God about being led away from your current slavery into a world that is to come. And so is this, we may ask, is this just defeatism? Are we like Cleopas and the other disciples just giving up? In a way, yes, that is true. But I will tell you that that dissatisfaction that you feel with the world is not a bug, but rather it is a feature of true Christianity. If our hope in Christ is for this life, for this world only, we are of most people to be pitied. But Christ points you past this world as if there were something better than this world and all of its petty squabbles over land and money and power. Jesus invites you to wait for that world. Awake and sober-minded, Peter says, setting your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you when he is revealed. Till then, eat, drink, rejoice, for he tells you that on that day you will well and truly live. Amen.